welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horik and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys in the Netherlands. Welcome, Daan Smit, CEO at Smit Communicatie.
Correct. Thanks for having me.
Daan, I'm so glad that you're here because you're the guy that introduced me to podcasting. So you inspired us to start the Marketing Technology Podcast with your Smitcast.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's something I have to surprise you sometimes. So yeah. this is why. No, really, you're the guy that inspired me at least to start the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Wow.
You learned me how to podcast. You taught me some stuff. I can still remember that we sat together in your office and you explained me how to do this, how to technically do this, and thanks for inspiring me.
Yeah.
Well, you're more than welcome. Us.
And this works both ways. So
cool. Love it. So Daan, you're the CEO of your own communications company based in Leusden, the Netherlands. You have loads of international clients.
Yeah.
I think you have an inspiring story to tell. Could you first of all start to introduce yourself?
Yeah.
Your company. Just tell us what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little background. I started Smit Communications, actually my wife started Smit Communications in 2013. I was still a sales and marketing manager at a software company, working for foundations and charities. And in 2015, I was like, man, I want to start my own company. But I didn't know what company. And then in the summer of 2015, we were moving to another house, painting the walls, and we just said to each other, why don't we build Smit Communications together? And within 3 weeks, we made the plan. And on the Monday, back in the office on the 24th of August, 2015, I still remember the day, I said, you know, guys,
you quit your job? Cool.
Yeah.
That's the way to start.
Yeah, we just had to do it, you know. And it took a while to bring it to a mature state. But eventually, it worked out well. We are now with 5 people in the office in Leusden. And we work for clients in 16 countries. I think most of Europe and then some in the U.S. So.
Cool.
It's a lot of fun.
Quick, curious question. When you started, you had an idea. You had that 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Has that evolved, or is that still the big basis of your company now?
Yeah, we completely changed. Actually, the core didn't change. Hmm. We saw a lot of companies struggle with their sales and marketing. And we felt like we can add something to it, but the way that we add something to it has really changed.
Cool.
So we do lots of different things now. So it really evolves. It's a fun question, yeah.
Yeah, we're following your entrepreneurial journey here.
Yeah.
So on a little distance, well, we speak, we have lunch every now and then. But
right.
Online, I follow you, Mark follows you, and we see what you do. And recently you have shared a lot, and that's what I want to talk to you about in this podcast, a lot on successful webinars.
Yeah.
To be honest, you know, webinars is highly, I was talking to Mark before. I said, "Well, what do you think about webinars?" And it's a hard topic. I would say a lot of companies organize podcast webinars. I mean, they have some attendance.
Yeah.
Half of them don't show up, or three-quarters of registrants don't show up. It's hard to find people on your webinar. Then you have the technical stuff in organizing a webinar. So what we've seen is that it's easier said than done.
Yeah, it's like throwing a party, and then you've got a lot of preparation, and then you open the doors, full anticipation. And then 10 people
show up.
Where are the 100 people that I've invited?
I know the feeling.
You expected like 100 people and 10 people show up.
And then with the other guy or girl in town, and she gives parties and it's packed.
So we've all been there.
Yeah.
We all know that feeling. I think a lot of listeners know this feeling that, well, organizing a webinar is easier said than done. And you seem to have like cracked the code there.
Yeah, we really
You have
did.
The magic formula on how to organize. So, first of all, what made you even want to crack that code?
Yeah. Well, it started with, you know, the funny thing is we all start our working career somewhere. Mm-hmm. But nobody tells us how to do our work. I mean, at least for me, that's the case. Mm-hmm. So you get all these responsibilities, all these tasks,
yep.
and nobody tells you how to work with your agenda, work with your calendar, your email, how to keep it organized.
Here's your login.
Yeah. Go
it's
ahead.
It's like being a parent, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's funny that the most important things that we do and spend most time in, we don't learn it. So my journey with webinars started with David Allen from Getting Things Done, because mm-hmm. I wanted to learn how to organize my work, and I saw him doing these webinars, and they were cool. It was interesting. It was, you know, he has a fast pace of presenting. He had wonderful guests in the webinar, and you could just notice as a listener and a watcher that there were a lot of people there. And he recorded his webinars, so he actually created a bunch of content that kept on producing clients for his business. And with that idea, I once said, you know, when I was sales and marketing manager at this software company, I want to do webinars. And I spoke to a lady who was the director, the CEO of the most influential company in the charity foundations scene. And I said, Hanneke, I want to do webinars. She said, Dan, my dream too. Let's do it together. And I think that's where it started. And to be honest, it actually also started with a strategy, because most businesses don't have a strategy. They just want to do webinars. But you have to think back and then, you know, re-engineer the whole thing from the front end.
Because it's, to me, it seems like everything, as we've discussed that before in, like, for example, podcast on sales, where we said, well, it's never going to work without a proper process.
Right.
So what's the process
yeah.
you need to have in place for organizing a successful webinar? Do you have, like, a process flow that you can share with us?
Absolutely. So the first thing that you do, just like you guys also do it with marketing guys, is you have to know your purpose, the strategy behind it. What is the purpose of the webinar? Because mm-hmm. there's many different types of webinars you can give. You can give educational webinars for your clients. You can use them as lead generation. You can use them for sales. To be honest, we mostly do webinars for sales, but it wasn't always the case. That was the hardest code to crack for us. Webinars where you actually sell something, or at least get an appointment mm-hmm. and start the selling process. So where I would suggest to start is with that plan. What's the purpose? What do we want to reach? Mm-hmm. Then, who's your target audience?
What kind of, just to come back on that
yeah.
plan, so you need to have a purpose on why you organize this. What could you share some of the potential purposes?
Yeah.
Because yeah. am I selling something in a webinar? You mentioned making appointments for sales reps or SDRs. Or,
right.
So what's typical purposes that you have on or on webinars?
Yeah, I think the most sought after type of webinar is lead generation. Mm-hmm. You know, how can I be in contact with existing clients to upsell or cross sell, and how can I get in contact with my prospects and leads and show them that I'm an authority, that I know my stuff, and just bless them with a whole bunch of content that really is going to help them tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the like Bob Berg says in his book about endless referrals, he says you have to have the know, like, and trust factor. Mm-hmm. So it starts with knowing you. And it's just like podcasting and webinars. If you do them often, people get to know you, they get to like you, they get to trust you, and it just becomes easier to go back to you as a source.
Okay.
So lead generation would be number one.
So just to, because I really yeah. want to nail this down.
Yeah.
So my purpose would be lead generation.
Yeah.
How do I measure that? How do I measure my goal there? Is this number of listeners, number of appointments, number of follow-ups, or what? How yeah. do you measure success here?
Yeah. Success is measured by the end result. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if you would like to do a webinar once a week, and for your business, it's a high-end client that's going to spend like 100,000 euros with your company in a year, mm-hmm. you would be happy if you have one client each week.
So more than happy.
More than happy, yeah. right? yeah. So if that would be your purpose, doing that webinar once a week and turning out one high-end client that spends 100,000 euros, you can recalculate the math.
Yeah.
Because you already know in your offline world or in your online world in other ways that you do lead generation, how many leads do I need in order to get that one sale?
So basically what you're telling is you're measuring the complete funnel,
every
touch point and attribution, and basically the end revenue.
Yeah.
So revenue is your measuring, so you keep measuring KPI to measure results, success.
Exactly, okay. Because most of the time what we do for our clients is we spend a lot of money on advertising, and it needs to, you know, there needs to be an ROI.
Mm-hmm.
And actually there needs to be an ROAS, the return on ad spend.
Mm-hmm.
So we start with the end in mind, like Stephen Covey says, and then recalculate. And we know our numbers. So for instance, if you have 100 people sign up for your webinar in a business-to-business environment, it's safe to say that less than 50% will show up.
Mm-hmm.
The average is 30, between 30 and 50%.
So between 30 and 50% of your registrants actually show up.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
So knowing that up front saves you a whole lot of pain and headache. And you can then better calculate how much you can spend on those ads.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it's a sales webinar, when you're really trying to teach people something but also have a pitch in the webinar, it's safe to say that when the pitch starts in the webinar, when you're going to pitch, it's 70% that will be still there. So we now have 100 people sign up. Let's say we have 30 people show up. We now have, let's do the math, 7 times 3 is 21 people at the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And if like 3 people say, hey, but this is so interesting, let's make that conversation, because I can imagine in your sales funnel there's a human touch point needed in order to get the 100,000 sales.
Sure. Yeah.
So those 3 appointments from that one webinar leading to one sale, that could be the funnel.
Yeah. Do you actually visualize that funnel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just one step before that, to measure that success, so what you're saying is revenue.
Yeah.
Do you recommend customers to have CRM in place there? Or is it all done manually?
No, you need CRM. You need CRM and you need marketing automation tools.
So marketing automation followed by CRM, opportunity management, in order to have the full focus and Absolutely. Full view on ROI. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Good.
Because the whole process, you don't want to do this manually. Now, maybe in the beginning that's an idea, but at a certain point where you see that you are starting to have results.
It's tons of emails.
You need to scale up.
Tons of emails. Yeah. And actually what we do, we really look at the business case. If we see with our client that there's a business case, we automate the whole process from the start.
Cool.
Because it's part of the success factor.
Cool.
You know, you don't want to sit on your couch at night at 11 p.m. and think, oh, I forgot to send them the reminder email for the webinar tomorrow. You
cool.
know, these things happen in a business.
So, to be clear on that, you actually do this for customers. So, for listeners that are looking to get this done, Dan, you really help customers with suite communication. We'll share that, your details, of course, in the show notes, etc. First step in the process is set a goal, set a purpose, define what you're looking after. So it could be one deal or it could be multiple deals depending on your own business. So now we've set our goal.
Yeah.
What's the next step?
If you know the goal, you probably already thought about the target audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would really say dive into your buyer's personas that you have created. Look at, you know, these people in relation to the webinar and the content of the webinar.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third step would be...
So laser focus on
audience. Yeah, you have to be really targeted.
Targeted, because if you're not targeted, what happens?
What happens if you're not targeted is that a lot of people may show up, because this is the thing, you know, sometimes we're so focused on, if we have a lot of registrants.
Yeah.
It's not important anymore if you know your goal.
So you need to have basically fully visitors that qualify. So
exactly.
you need qualified customer registrant for your webinar.
Exactly.
So it's not about the quantity, it's more about the quality.
Yeah, that's in the example we use right now for the high-end clients.
Sure.
That's the case.
Yeah.
there's also customers where we really need
a high volume,
high volume, because we're selling directly their online courses for, let's say, 500 or 1,000 euros.
But even then, if you only have, let's say, people that are interested in vacuum cleaners, you're not going to sell courses to, right?
No.
So,
no.
Of course. So I think you're making a valid point, because I guess the next step is how to get to that,
right,
to this registrant. And if you're spending ads, or doing ads, any ad spend, you don't want to spend that on people that don't qualify.
Exactly.
Another question about qualifying. What would you say works the best, or is qualify the people before they go to the webinar, or use the webinar as the qualifier?
Both can work. So, for instance, if you would do ad spend on Facebook, you can now use Facebook to qualify your people. Because you have those Facebook pixels on your website, you know, you follow them along, you know a little bit about them. And still, the most powerful way to do ads on Facebook is based on interests. Mm-hmm. So that's already a qualification. But the whole process itself is a qualification as well. Because what happens is that people that sign up are already a qualification step. People that show up are a big qualification step. People that stay until the pitch have qualified themselves in a big way. And then, of course, the people that already make that appointment with you are the biggest qualifiers. And sending all that information back to Facebook now helps you target, for example, in this case, your targeting better.
So you're getting those custom audiences on Facebook. So let's stay in this process, right? So we have, you've set the purpose, we have looked after the target audience, then we're trying to get that audience to the webinar. And that's where it gets painful for a lot of listeners, I think, because we've all been there, you know, organizing all that nice webinar. You have great content, at least, that's what you think.
Yeah.
Now you have to get those people to register for your webinar. So how do I, because I can post it on my LinkedIn, and all my LinkedIn connections know what I do, so they're probably not going to sign up.
Yeah.
So I need to find those listeners online.
Yeah.
So I know which listeners I'm after because I defined my audience. So how do I get people to register? How do I find people?
Exactly. So you can use ad, you know, paid ads for that.
Yeah.
Another way could be in cooperation with each other. That's the first example that I used, you know, with Hanneke from the Institute of Fundraising.
So you're doing a joint marketing effort.
Venture.
Yeah, okay.
And as long as you can really reinforce each other's strengths and the public really likes that, it's going to work very well. Because in that case, you know, if we, for example, we would do a webinar together. You have clients that might be interested in my services and the other way around.
We both have an email list that we can use. And that's the easiest to do. But those people already know us. They get every week or every 2 weeks, or because we send a lot of personalized stuff out.
Yeah.
So they get stuff from us on a regular basis. So
chances
are that they're not going to register for this.
Yeah, but on the other hand, it's low-hanging fruit, and it's the combination.
It's a combination.
Yeah. Because we've got a part that your people might don't know but find interesting, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So what maybe be in the first instance, hey, they already know what we do by doing joint forces, you add an extra flavor or an extra
DJ so, and to the party. I'm absolutely, I think you should absolutely use those email lists to personalize through marketing automation, send the people that you know that will be interested on your list. But I think you opened our eyes a little here when you said, well, you need to do ads on this.
Yeah.
Because in your experience, what percentage of people come through ads and what percentage of people come through other channels?
Yeah. What we see is with our clients, the only way that we've been able to scale this thing is with Facebook.
Facebook ads.
Yeah, even in a business-to-business environment.
Cool.
And of course, there might be businesses where it doesn't work, but most of the time when our clients say, well, no, Facebook, man, my clients are not on Facebook, it doesn't work, most of the time they're wrong. It's a preconceived idea that is not true. So you know, almost everybody is on Facebook.
Sure.
So it's
or
just,
on Instagram.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
And we find that people click faster on a Facebook ad than on a LinkedIn ad. Look
and
at your
cheaper.
Own behavior. Yeah, and it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And so LinkedIn hasn't been, we haven't been able to scale it. Now, I would definitely use LinkedIn for you know, getting your webinar out there.
Yeah.
But don't expect high numbers from that platform.
No.
So I think Facebook is still, for most businesses, the best way to do regular webinars and really fill them up.
So would it be safe to say, let's say, about 75% of registrants come through ads? Or is it like 50?
It's more like 85.
85%.
Yeah.
So 85% of people come through ads on Facebook.
Yeah.
So I think that's a real eye-opener to our listeners that are in B2B.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, I would say, and I would bet on it, that most people rely on email marketing here.
Yeah.
Or say, hey, I do LinkedIn updates and I do email marketing and I expect my webinar to be full. But those people get tons of emails from you.
Correct.
So don't expect them to sign up in high volume. So 85% of people come through Facebook advertising, even in a B2B environment.
Yeah.
So
and these 85% are usually people that are completely new to you.
Cold traffic.
Cold traffic, so completely new, which is
completely new.
Highly valuable, of course, because it's new people.
Yeah, I think that this podcast just put an extra on the list as being Facebook, because a lot of B2B, it's LinkedIn.
Yeah, yeah.
And Facebook, no, that's...
No, we've seen results with LinkedIn, for example, for white papers, it works great.
Yeah, that's
works. White paper marketing, also those new emails were great, sponsored emails.
Yeah.
They are cheap,
yeah.
About, I would say, 10 to 20 cents an email.
And that might be an interesting tool for filling your webinar.
As well, yeah.
I haven't tried that yet. No. But that would be a great idea.
Well, you could do a campaign for a couple of hundred euros through to very targeted to hundreds or even thousands of people, because it's only 10 to 20 cents an email.
Yeah.
So you could try it out very easily if you use the metrics.
Correct.
So now that we've done three steps, right? So we've set the purpose, we have a targeted audience, a second step, and then the third step is to get people in. So remember, 85% through Facebook.
Yeah. I've got one of the of people getting in.
Yeah.
What do you do with the no-showers?
Yeah. So we have created a full campaign. So they register, they get their automated email, hey, here's your unique link, and thank you for signing up.
Uh-huh.
So, and actually, that whole experience about signing up needs to be an experience. So we send them to a landing page, mostly with videos. And actually, the ads, there's two types of ads that we've seen work best. Long posts, because that is, you know,
like the whole explanation. Yeah.
And video ads with testimonials. Mm-hmm. Those are the two that we see work best.
Yeah.
Now they come to the landing page. They get another video of the presenter of the webinar that explains them a little bit about what they're going to get. And the bullet points of what they're going to get, and the authority amplifiers like about your business and about the
who else has done this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's already like, hey man, they get pumped up.
You don't want to miss this out.
Exactly. And scarcity needs to be in there. You know.
So only so maximum number of seats. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
And honestly, it needs to be true. So you don't want to lie there.
No.
We see a lot of marketeers doing webinars with all these lies.
Yeah, we only have three spots left.
Yeah.
Alternative reality.
Yeah, alternative reality. But if it's honest and true, you can really use the scarcity and the countdown timer. Yeah. And there's certain specifics that need to be above the fold on that page.
Yeah. So it doesn't need to be fake news. Mark.
No,
that's what you're saying. Mark, by the way, for the listeners, sitting here with his Kennedy for President shirt. So, he's not in any way related to fake news.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Only for alternative realities.
Alternative realities. Okay, it's true. So back to Dom. So we have done those ads, video ads, and long post work best.
Yeah.
You already gave a glimpse there on how you, let's say, put in this process of invitations, etc.
Right.
How does this, let's say, automated flow work? You don't have to, I would say, you don't have to go through every email, but is there some stuff that needs to be in there? Because if you start an account with GoToMeeting or WebEx or Zoom or whatsoever, there's all these automated emails already in there.
Yeah,
yeah, but do you use those or no? That's listeners. You should look at the face of Dan because he's disgusted with his faces.
Yeah, we're
full of disgust from the automated emails in WebEx.
We need to make podcasts.
They're terrible.
They can zoom in.
So let's Dan. Why are you not using those?
It's all about the experience, and the experience sucks with GoToWebinar or all these other emails that are generated from those platforms.
Cool.
And so we don't want to do that. You want to do that, for example, through Acton.
Yeah.
You know, because then you can style it and make it your...
And measure everything.
And measure everything. Yeah. So GoToWebinar is, in my opinion, still the most robust platform for webinars.
And it hooks into all those automation solutions.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, they might be a little bit behind with the look and feel. They do have created a new version of GoToWebinar that... you can actually attend the webinar from your browser,
cool,
which is already a lot better.
So you don't need to install stuff on your PC?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, we can talk about all these platforms, but let's say it's GoToWebinar. That's already connected to your landing page, so they never see GoToWebinar.
No.
Only the generated link in the email.
So important, because we have talked to a lot of customers and people that do webinars. We are Dutch, so we're always looking into what things cost.
Yeah.
Yes, GoToWebinar costs money, and it's more expensive than those, I would say, cheap-ass webinar solutions.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be honest, listeners, if you're doing a webinar and you're going to spend ads on it, don't bother about those couple of hundred euros a year you're spending on GoToWebinar.
No.
Please use a real tool like GoToWebinar or WebEx.
Yeah.
We are not being paid to say this, but you know, it's in our opinion, it's important to have a solid solution. So don't be cheap ass. Don't buy a cheap solution because it needs to hook in. It needs to work. And if this is not working, your whole, let's say, effort goes down the drain.
Absolutely, it's the most terrible thing.
It's actually always the whole thing: get the best quality price. That doesn't mean to get the most expensive one.
No.
But really one that fits your needs. So that's important.
So you're building this experience prior to the webinar. So people click on this Facebook ad. They come on your landing page, which has
video
on it.
Preferably.
And about what you're doing and why you should do this and which other people have been there. And you don't want to miss out on this one. So and then you're signing up. And
They click the button, and so the pop-up appears, and they send their first name and their email address. I don't ask for more.
Nope.
And even in a business-to-business environment, it's not the place to do that, in my opinion.
No, you don't want to have a high barrier to enter.
No. And a lot of marketers in the bigger businesses that say, will say, yeah, but I need their organization and their phone number. And
it needs to be in our CRM.
Get more obstacles. Then we get more.
So don't do that. Registers. You know.
And you can do that later using progressive profiling in your automation solutions. Yeah.
So they click that button, they register, and then they come on the thank you page. And the thank you page is normally a GoToWebinar page for people.
Yeah.
And that's... Don't do that. No. So really,
it looks like
MS-DOS
2001.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Your Windows
3.11 for workgroups. That one. Yeah. I remember that one.
So really take attention, and we do another video. We say, hey, thank you for registering for the webinar. I'm gonna give you one glimpse of what you're gonna get, and you just share one golden nugget, and say this is what we're going to discuss, because you want to build that anticipation. And by the way, this is like now they have at least heard you three times or two times, and they've seen your face. So there's that bonding again.
Yeah.
Now, then they get their email automated. They get some reminder emails. Usually we, between the time that they see the ad and the time of the webinar, for us, it's 7 days.
Okay. So,
it's short.
Short. So you don't want to get them registered a month before.
No, it doesn't work. No, 2 weeks is already too long. We've tested and tried everything 7 days.
Okay.
And maybe when you start out with Facebook ads for the first time, it's the first webinar 10 days because Facebook needs a little bit of time to start working. And then they come to the webinar. So our reminder emails are like 1 week. So they get the first email when they sign up.
Yeah.
Then 1 day before, or 3 days and 1 day, and then maybe 1 hour or 1 minute.
Yeah.
That's how we do it.
Yeah. Okay. Then they log into this webinar.
Yeah.
Just a because I've done a lot of webinars. I've participated in a lot of webinars.
Yeah.
Do you use video or do you only share slides?
I only share slides.
Okay. So they've seen you in the video.
Yeah.
But you're sharing slides during the webinar itself. Why don't you use video?
Because in the sales lead generation process, it doesn't work.
Okay.
We have just tested it. The only thing you could do is say, hey, I'm going to put on my webcam here for a minute, say hello to the guests, you know, present yourself a little bit, and then say, hey, we're now going to focus on the content because that's the reason you're here, and just close that video, that webcam. Because we have found in lead generation and sales webinars, it's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you want to focus on the actual content?
Yeah, we just see it in the numbers.
Yeah, you see it. So cool. So you've tested this, and I like that. What during the webinar, you have just told how you or explained how you started doing webinars. You also mentioned that there were great guests on the on the webinar.
Yeah.
Do you recommend people to do like a one-man show, or do you want to have external people coming in or industry leaders? Is there something about the content that you can share that makes it successful?
Yeah. The most successful webinars that we have done or do with or for our clients and ourselves for our own company is one-man shows.
One-man shows.
Yeah, because there's just, it just flows better. Mm-hmm. And you can build the whole script around it. But that being said, there are times when it's very interesting to have a special guest and do an interview, especially when there's an authority. For example, I remember one client and they had one presenter and a neurologist, and the neurologist was the expert being asked questions, but also by the public. And that was really awesome because now we have somebody that, you know, doesn't have any...
Like a thought leader, and he's unbiased. And
right.
Yeah, so that's, I've seen that working with clients.
Yeah.
Let's say you want to present something, but you're bringing in an actual client
that
tells their own story, unbiased. At least, well, unbiased, it's always a little biased, of course, but people will see that it's not just you telling the truth about yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So how long should a webinar last?
At least an hour.
At least an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's really funny, actually. This goes against every rule in online marketing. You know, attention spans online are measured in seconds.
Yeah, 8 seconds for Gen Z.
Right.
Yeah.
And it used to be minutes.
Yeah.
And then it became seconds. So this is the only thing where we just, you know, break that law. And the reason being is because in an hour webinar, you really have the time to digest things and really go through the whole
you can
script.
Bond with them. Cool. I didn't know that. I was always that's something I learned here today. The other thing is, what time of the day works best?
Yeah, Tuesdays, Thursdays, morning.
On the morning.
Yeah,
in your own time zone.
In your own time zone, 10 in the morning.
So 10 a.m. Works best. Okay, cool. So 10 in the morning, so you expect B2B, and you have seen that it's working.
Yeah.
So those people in B2B, those, let's say, 30 to 50% that show up, and then 70% of that, actually take a full hour during work days to listen to Dan.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Then like with the podcast.
That's a lead qualifier.
Yeah, that's a lead qualifier.
Because if they do that, you know, that really shows that they're interested.
And oh yeah, just one question, because a lot of people are still hanging for the answer of that no-shower.
Yeah, so the no-shower, what we do with them in the campaign is we want to get them back on the next live webinar. We try that 3 times.
Yeah.
If they don't do that, they go to a replay.
Okay, so you don't send replays to everyone, only to people that attended.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's another question people will have.
Yeah, yeah, because I heard somewhere that you can make a recorded version of the webinar
absolutely.
And just send it also to people who have not attended it.
Yeah, we don't do that. We see better results by getting them to another live version.
Cool.
Because of the interaction that is missing in the replay. Most people don't watch the replay
either,
or at least not full.
No. Okay. I think there's one more thing that we need to show before we end this very interesting podcast. How do you do follow-up? Because you already shared, like, we only do replays to people that attended. But what other follow-up stuff do you do?
Yeah, so we have clients that really sell something that can be bought immediately during the webinar. Mm-hmm. That's another follow-up process. Mm-hmm. But normally in a lead generation, you want to have them reply within the webinar. For example, if you say, hey, if this is something that would be interesting to you.
You do a poll.
You could.
Yeah, okay.
Or you just in the question box, please, you know, give us your details and we'll contact you directly after the webinar.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what we do, what we've been doing, I would say, during webinars, what people don't realize, you can, using GoToWebinar, you can do those polls.
Perfect.
And those polls, the answers that people give, you can use during your marketing automation process.
Yeah.
So you could qualify even further. And people don't realize that, because if they're listening, it's like those 40 people that are in your webinar, you ask them, on what time frame are you planning to spend on marketing automation, for example, and they say, well, 2 months, 6 months. Those answers actually sent back to you after the webinar. You can even use those in your marketing automation tool. So those answers are a segmentation in your automation tool and a follow-up.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like, it's what do you ask someone, fill something in a form, or raise your hand?
Right.
Raising your hand is much easier.
Yeah.
So that's with the polls. Yeah, there is so much more that we could talk about MarTech stacking and an interpret. But I really think that I think we need to have an episode two
on that's what we're gonna do,
and
I'm gonna be in your the Smithcast of course, so listeners stay tuned and I'll share it, of course. Dan, thank you so much for this
amazing
podcast. You've made me enthusiastic again about webinars, because to be honest, I was already like do I need to do more webinars, because it's always a drain to do to organize one, but thank you very much.
Yeah.
Last question, how do people reach out to you when they want to have a successful webinar?
Well, maybe you can share in the show notes my contact details.
Of course, we will. I will, so people can reach out to on your website or on LinkedIn. I'll share those ones. And do reach out, because as you've heard, it's quite a process you need to have in place.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that yourself. You do want to have a successful webinar, so spend a few bucks on organizing a successful webinar, and you'll be able to measure the success. Thank you very much, Dan.
You're more than welcome, and thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our iTunes channel. Also, if you want to be interviewed on this podcast, or if you have any questions on marketing technology, send me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you.